Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We are really excited to have you today. We're having a great show that we're going to talk about our call to adventure in this life. And sometimes we could think about this almost as the small A archetype. And we have this in our lifespans, such as a new school year, which is why we're doing this show today. But it could be renewing a relationship or starting a relationship, or it could be any juncture point of change. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU, Solar Powered Crew FM, and we're having a great show today, and we're really looking forward to talking to you. This is Dr. Scott Terry on Mental Health Matters with Dr. Terry. And my co-host today is
Danielle DiBenedetto. Nice to have you all here with us today.
Danielle, if they want to get in touch with us, or, you know, you want to find out more information about this, where would they look?
Yeah, so you can look up the archives on our sites for KRU 100 and also Ardent
100.1.
100.1, thank you. And Ardent Counseling Center. And you can either look on the Ardent Counseling Center site or the YouTube search and just plug in Ardent Counseling Center.
Can you spell Ardent
again? Ardent is A-R-D-E-N-T.
Ooh, she's so articulate.
All right, and you can also always email Scott at scott@ardentcenter.com.
Great. And we broadcast, when do we broadcast?
All right, and we broadcast Tuesdays.
Here in Fairfield.
Here in Fairfield, Tuesdays at 6:30 and Thursdays at 12:30.
And again, things are archived, and you might be listening to this somewhere else. We're going to hopefully be broadcasting soon from a different location as well. But we're so glad you're with us. So today's show is this call to adventure. And we think about Joseph Campbell because that's where this comes from. And Danielle's going to read something about the call to adventure. But think for yourself before she says this story, what is your juncture point? And it doesn't always have to be a big lifespan event, a new birth, a life, death, change. But it could sometimes be, I've been going through some changes in myself. Maybe I'm trying to get off eating or drinking something that's not working for me. Or maybe it's more serious. Maybe I'm trying to get off some medication or drugs that are not working for me. And maybe it's time for that change. Maybe it's time for your call to an adventure. So as you think about it, come up with something that works for you and listen for a moment as Danielle tells you about. She's going to read Campbell here for a second.
All right, so these are Campbell's words. This first stage of the mythological journey, which we have designated the call to adventure, signifies the destiny has summoned the hero and transferred his spiritual center of gravity from within the pale of his society to a zone unknown. This fateful region of both treasure and danger may be variously represented as a distant land, a forest, a kingdom underground, beneath the waves or above the sky, a secret island, lofty mountaintop, or profound dream state. But it is always a place of strangely fluid and polymorphous beings, unimaginable torments, superhuman deeds, and impossible delight. The hero can go forth of his own volition to accomplish the adventure, as did Theseus when he arrived in his father's city, Athens, and heard the horrible story of the Minotaur, or he may be carried or sent abroad by some benign or malignant agent, as was Odysseus, driven about the Mediterranean by the winds of the angered god Poseidon. The adventure may begin as a mere blunder, as did that of the princess of the fairy tale, or still again, one may be only casually strolling when some passing phenomenon catches the wandering eye and lures one away from the frequented paths of man. Examples might be multiplied ad infinitum from every corner of the world.
Pretty cool. Now, again, that's coming at it from a mythological perspective, but it really is the same thing when we start talking about a new adventure. So that new adventure could simply be, maybe I am starting school for the first time. I'm starting college. It's a new adventure for me. Or maybe I'm coming back to college, but I'm coming back renewed after a summer break and discovering so much more about myself. So I'm different. So yes, the school might be the same, the course might be the same, but who I am, how I perceive the world has changed, therefore what I'm doing has changed.
Yeah, it's like a tool, using looking at this journey of yourself and creating the story. Where am I at in my grand story, or epic, if you will? It can create purpose for what may feel purposeless at the time, stepping outside of your story and saying, where am I on my pathway?
Ooh, so I love how you bring in purpose. Bring up one of my favorite guys, Viktor Frankl, where he starts talking about our purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And that purpose can come from this great adventure. But sometimes, as I was talking with somebody today, it could also come from tragedy. And sometimes tragedy, or in our world, trauma or PTSD, can also be a positive, productive thing to create this great adventure. We've talked about this many times in the past here on this show, where we could take something that's negative and utilize it as a powerful, productive thing. However it is, whatever is your call to adventure, it's good to kind of come back to, how can I look at this in a different kind of way? So let me start with something really concrete, because we're being all abstract here. I'm going to talk about school for a second. So I used to be a professor in Chicago, and one of the really interesting things that I found when teaching graduate school, and I only taught master's and doctoral level students in the last several years, what I found so fascinating is that the brightest students were getting the worst grades in my class. And the not so bright, let's say, students were getting the best grades over and over again. And I kept wondering, why is this occurring? Shouldn't the smarter students, the ones that are more creative, more innovative, more, you know, cognitively aware, more brilliant, shouldn't they be getting the better grades? So I asked Danielle, I haven't prepped her on this one, why do you think that's the case?
Why do I think that's the case? I think that's the case because I feel a lot of creativity and innovation and seeing the world outside of the box from being of higher intelligence, perhaps, maybe does not fit in the paradigm that we currently have as far as testing, as far as our school structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a game that needs to be played, and we always get frustrated that life isn't fair. But life is fair according to the rules that somebody is playing by, that you're having to play by. The game might not be, the game could be rigged, but you're the one choosing to play that game. And if you're choosing to be in school, you need to be able to play the game. And the game is, so the reason, for instance, I found that the bright students were getting the worst grades is because they want to think about everything. They want to discover and debate everything. I'd ask them for, you know, a paragraph or two on some topic that needed to get just something. And they would write pages and pages and pages. Whereas the not so bright people, let's say, were able to know they got to graduate school by knowing how to play the game as it is intended. And it's not fair and it's not right. And yes, it'd be better to have a different educational system sometimes, but you need to know the game that you're playing, no matter what it is, in relationships or school or whatever it is, or whatever your adventure that you're being called to play out is. So in this case, the not so bright, let's say, students knew how to play the game. They would answer distinctly what needed to get done. If I gave them a test, they would answer the question that I was giving them, as opposed to somebody who wanted to fantasize and jump around and play with the question. I needed the answer. I'm here to give somebody a grade. And I couldn't base it upon I liked them better or they thought more deeply. I had to give them a grade upon did they actually know the material? So it's really interesting to kind of go through what is the games that we're playing as we're starting our adventure. And if the game is school, then know, for instance, not what to learn, not you know, being able to stuff more information into your head. And one of the things I love about this school here, Maharishi University of Management, is they have this great concept of a consciousness-based education, which I know for people here seems to fluff past them. But what's really cool about it as a concept, which an ideal that I think everybody should always come back to, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're doing, is expand who you are, not what you are learning. It's a problem that even in relationships, everybody gets stuck in. What are we talking about as opposed to how are we communicating? And in every relationship, what ends up happening is people get stuck on, well, she said this and he did this. And, you know, it's like, okay, but how are you communicating? What's the bigger picture of what you're trying to get to and how are you trying to get there? Well, in school, you have to expand who you are so you can get to a bigger concept of what you want to create. In this case, with school, for example, don't focus on what are those dates in history. So, for example, again, I was a professor, and I taught for a bunch of years. And what was really interesting about it is, you know, I've read the thickest books on Piaget, for example. And I could cite chapter and verse of his theories and most people's theories in depth. But for the life of me, I don't remember, for instance, he had certain stages, if there are 0 to 2 and 2 to 4 or what they are, because I could ask my phone. I could ask Siri and Siri would give me the answer in a fraction of a second. I didn't need to know the details. What I needed to know was the context of how is that information useful today in today's society for today's therapist or today's person, because I train therapists, and how is that information useful? How does somebody develop, a child develop, and how can we work with children and adults that have come from a certain system? So I'm talking a lot here. What do you think?
No, I think that this is great. It's like focusing on you as a student, your understanding of information and the context and the concept, and focusing on how do I understand this as a whole, not consuming yourself with the small details that are accessible to you, you know, via the internet or books, resources.
Right. Especially nowadays, the details are secondary to how am I utilizing that information? What can I do with that information? One of the things I always recommend is look, especially for kids at all ages, is study skills. And one of the lovely site that I found is called StudyGS, is in GeorgeSalmon.net. But there are hundreds of these sites, and I'm not saying this is the best one. I just simply like this one. But if you're wanting more information on study skills, there it's freely available. But again, look at how you're learning, who you are as a learner. And then look at Maharishi talked about knower known and process is knowing. Who are you? What it is that you're learning or thinking about? And what's the best process or methodology to work with that information? So get out of the cosmic, the obscure, the whatever. I'm talking about this very concretely, very practically. And yes, we're talking about in terms of school, but this is the same thing in terms of work, where people get lost in the details of what they are doing as opposed to how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And yes, for instance, I have a wonderful accountant in town, great guy, and I want him to be obsessive. I want him to know the details, but I also want him to get the big picture. What is it we're trying to accomplish, and how are we going to get there? So even for the most detailed of professions, you still need to look at that bigger picture.
Yeah, so it's really, I'm really reminded of that knower process of knowing and known. It's really coming back to yourself, it sounds like what you're saying, and what does this information mean to me? Looking at things both right in front of you and as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. By the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. This is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry, and today's show is about
the call to adventure.
And that call to you could be?
You know, whether starting out your new school year, job, whatever have you.
Or a relationship.
Or relationships.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, think of it as adventure. What you're getting caught up in is generally the details, and that's the trap of the mind. And how do I get back to seeing the forest through the trees, but also seeing those trees when I need to see them? How do I do both worlds at the same time? And that's the paradox and the tricky bit. Yes, I can walk and chew gum at the same time. I can do both worlds.
I'm reminded of a story that I heard in school once about Maharishi, and had to do with this ladder. And you see where you want to go, and you put the ladder against the wall, and so you have this destination, this goal, but while you're getting there, you're looking just at the rung on the ladder in front of you, and just taking it as it comes in that process.
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that.
Okay. and so we don't... So again, for this show, we're not promoting anything, and mm-hmm. we're not saying if you believe in meditation or don't believe in meditation. We're just coming back to wanting you to think, get outside your own paradigm, your own trap of your own head, get out of the philosophy of this is right and this is wrong, this is good or this is bad, and reconceptualize how I learn, how I think about even Maharishi or meditation or whatever it is. And everybody's got these opinions, good, bad, right, wrong. And it's like one of the things we've talked about a million times in the show is getting out of all or nothing thinking. Redo it for you. We're not here to say what's right or wrong. We're wanting you to think for yourself what works and what doesn't. So another example I had is looking at relationships. So I run couples retreats, and these are for individual couples who want to come. It's called Restarting Relationships. I have a website if somebody remotely is interested, restartingrelationships.com. And it's a small little thing I do for fun where I'll have an individual couple come. I've also had individuals as well as whole families come, but they'll come for a day or two or three. I've had at times people fly in from New York or wherever, and they'll come for 4 days, and they wanted three therapists, and you know, it could become rather costly, but it also is a lot cheaper than having bad divorces or, you know, the problems that we go through. So people come to these retreats, and they're often wanting to rekindle the relationship. The problem is that never ever works. You can't go back in time. You can't go back to who you were. You can only go forward and create a new reality now. And so you project into the future a little bit, like, oh, this is what I want to create for my future. And how do I start creating that today? And I learned from the past. I never deny the past, ever, not for a moment. But what do I want to create from that past? So if a couple, for instance, I have a couple coming in a couple weeks that is already divorced, and they're wanting to come in, and most of the time people are coming in really bad shape when they, by the time they're seeing me, I'm not the happy relationship, kumbaya, church retreat. This is serious business. And so people are coming, these couples come in, they're already divorced, but they have kids, and they have to find some way to work together, and they also want to work with their relationship. So the one rule that I start with is, let's start with a clean slate. Tabula rasa. Let's clean up the state. And let's go, I'm not rekindling my past relationship. I am starting a new relationship, and it's based upon new rules and a new way to go about being together. Again, that openness of paradigm, not black or white, not all or nothing thinking, but to really re-see who I am, who the other person is, and what's the best process or methodology to work with that person. Same ideas that we're talking about. Our call to adventure is this new possibility of not the relationship, but who I can be in that relationship. What do you think?
No, it's very inspiring versus, dwelling in the past and trying to recreate that for yourself. It gives the opportunity to look at things from a different perspective, look at things openly, and envision for yourself, or as you said, project into the future, kind of, what you'd like to create for yourself. I see that as a very beautiful part of looking at the call to an adventure, because it puts you where you are in your grand place and where you'd like to be going, and how you see where you're at now as a jumping point into that future, a launching point into the future.
And so that could be, again, the idea is it could be your relationship. So even if your relationship is going great today, relationships, how do we say this? They're like sharks. They're always, you always have to keep moving. You know, relationships always have to keep developing. They're not static things. And if you're not working on your relationship, it's falling apart. It's one of those things. It's kind of like your health. It's kind of, there's no free ride here. You don't just sit there and say, well, I used to be healthy, or I used to be strong. It's where am I at today, this day, so that I could get stronger compared to who I am today. It's not who I was. And yes, I learned from who I was, what worked, what didn't work. But maybe I need to try things in a different kind of a way. Maybe I need to look at who I'm being, not just who the other person is and how I'm reacting to them. And that's the seriously one of the main things you deal with in all relationships. You know, you always focus on, you know, people come in, what the other person is doing. You know, and the other person's not doing their chores. The other person wants too much sex or doesn't want enough sex. The other person, you know, is spending all the money or is hoarding all the money or doing something. You know, they're basic issues that every relationship has. But it's also, again, the same issue for school, you know, or anything else, that call to adventure and looking at, who am I going to be here? How am I going to show up?
Yeah, taking a stake in where you are and where you want to be going. Yeah.
Put some skin in the game and do something with it. Like, hey, I really want my life to work. Okay, how am I going to make that happen? So take that call to adventure and look at the fact that on that adventure, there is going to be, you know, trials and tribulations along the way. What are some of the issues that come up?
Yeah, threshold crossings, brother battle, dragon battle. Now, these are all... you know, metaphorical, they show you rich language that Campbell uses, like the wonder journey, whale's belly. But along the way, you see that there are people that may come into your life that help you along the way. And then times in the pathway and journey where you fall really hard, or where you need to pick yourself back up and keep moving forward. The return, the resurrection, rescuing yourself or someone in your situation, the threshold struggle.
And so utilizing that kind of notion in your life, because there will be trials and tribulations, and it's never about how we fall down, right? Yeah. The Chumbawamba song, it's how we get up again, you know? And that's what the fight is about. It's not fighting against somebody else. It's not fighting the school or the work or the whatever it, or your relationship. It's about, who am I going to be? So be honest with yourself. Don't be afraid to be honest and allow change to be present in your life. So cross over that threshold and start a new adventure.
Okay.
So... where else do you feel like going with this? What do you think makes sense?
What do I think makes sense? I see, you know, really, I like honing in on seeing those downfalls as not debilitating, but when you fall, that getting back up, that seeing the downfalls as purposeful, as teachers, as things we can learn from and move forward with.
So let's talk about school. Let's come back to the thing of school.
Okay.
So everybody falls in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I am so neurotic that I'm getting straight A's and I am so have to be uptight, that itself is another trap. How do I have that work-life balance? How do I have that school-life balance? How do I have that sense of allowing myself to be who I need to be, faltering a little bit, learning from it, so that I could come back even stronger. But, and then starting a new semester, starting a new year with that attitude, like, okay, I'm not going to wait till the end. I'm not going to procrastinate. For instance, that's a game that a lot of people play. Mm-hmm. I certainly had that one where it's like, I'm going to wait till the end instead of like, no, the very first day I'm going to start preparing for what I'm going to do. Right. If I am in the hospital and I have the heart attack example, I'm going to get up and I'm going to plan to do a marathon, but not tomorrow, but in a year from now or 2 years from now. And I'm going to work up to it slowly. What am I doing to allow myself to get to the point where I can create the world I need to create for myself? So that's where your power is coming back to where that is and how you can do that for yourself. So anyways, but you were talking.
Oh, no, that's great. I see that as like, I lost my train of thought.
Well, we're talking about school and we're talking about this notion of when you fall down in school, for example, you know, you have a bad test or you didn't study, or maybe you got the grade for now. Maybe you're at this stage, for instance, an undergraduate in my example, and it's you're smart enough to get through the classes and get good grades by sloughing off. But you're not showing up. You're not having your real skin in the game. You're not really doing what you need to do to learn. And so I come back to those study skills. Maybe you don't need them now to get the grade, but you got to think two steps ahead. You got to use that prefrontal cortex. You got to be able to play chess isn't just the next move, but two moves ahead. If I move here, she's going to move here. And if she moves there, I'm going to move there. That's how you win the game. And in, you know, school, it's also really learning how to play the game, to go forward, to think two steps ahead, to think, okay, if I could learn these study habits now, I could then either go to graduate school and really succeed, or I could go to the workplace and somebody who'd really want to hire me, and I could really make a difference in this world, which is why I'm alive, to make this great difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a really important process of just initiating that step is being really honest with what your process is like, and not so much the outcome, but yeah, how am I showing up to learn about these things, and how am I consuming this information? How am I digesting it? Yeah, and what am I going to do with it versus just getting by and not showing up.
Which is great. And so when we think about Campbell's thing to finish up today, we think about being able to come back with what he calls that boon, to come back to where I started in a completely different place with what I've learned and grown, so that I can really create something so much better. And sometimes it could be something as, you know, so I'm going to finish school strong. But it could also be, like we said, sometimes it's something rough, like, you know, drugs or drinking or PTSD or trauma, or something that's really successful, but I want to get it to the next level. So what's your call to the adventure?
Yeah.
So sum up for us today.
All right. So today we really talked about what is your call to the adventure? How are you learning? How are you showing up? And how do you think? And looking outside of that box and getting out of the paradigm of right and wrong, black and white. And also, we talked a little bit about relationships. And if you're interested, we have the resource of restartingrelationships.com and looking at retreats if that's something that you really want to look at.
Or, you know, there's plenty of information, but look at how you're showing up and look at who you are being. Anyways, who are you? What is it? Who's the other person? And what's the best process? All right. Thank you, everyone. Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 FM Dial. Bye.
Thank you.